From WIPR, I'm Sheila Cast. We're on the record. For 90 years, the League for People with Disabilities has worked to foster independence for those living with physical, cognitive, or neurological handicaps. Annually, more than 2,000 individuals get resources, care, and rehabilitation at several campuses. We speak with Paris Bennett about his experiences as a participant in the League's Workforce Development Program, and with David Greenberg, the League's president and CEO. He offers insight behind the enthusiastic response to their monthly nightclub for people with disabilities, Club 1111.
When you have a disability, you can't do the things that other people take for granted. And it just showed you this huge social need of people with disabilities to want to gather.
It's On the Record after the news.
You're listening to On the Record, the podcast, a service of your public radio, 88.1 WYPR. Find more podcasts online at wypr.org. And tell us what you think. Send an email to ontherecord@wypr.org.
Good morning, I'm Sheila Cast. We're On the Record. For 90 years, the League for People with Disabilities has worked to foster independence for those living with physical, cognitive, or neurological handicaps. Annually, more than 2,000 individuals get resources, care, and rehabilitation through the League's programming at its multiple facilities. We'll speak with Paris Bennett in the second half of the show about his experience as a participant in the League's Workforce Development Program. Right now, David Greenberg is with me in the studio. He's been president and CEO of the League for 10 of its 90 years. Welcome to On the Record.
Thank you, Sheila. Nice to be here.
How did the League get started?
The League got started in the early teens and 20s of 19-teens, the 1920s, by a group of Jewish women who wanted to do something to help what was then called crippled children. And they used to partner with the police and bring kids out of the row homes of Baltimore into paddy wagons and take them out to Druid Hill Park and up to Mount Washington because of the value of fresh air has for children.
But a police paddy wagon was the only way to transport them.
Right, that there weren't accessible vehicles back then. They had to carry them down the steps. They'd generally be in rooms of homes and not very mobile. And these ladies couldn't carry these kids. A lot of them had braces. This is the polio epidemic, if you remember. So a lady named Isabel Kahn Frank was the spearhead behind it, and she ended up partnering with William S. Baer, which listeners may know as the Baer School in Baltimore.
Uh-huh.
He was a surgeon, and I think he had some means, and he helped fund getting the League started. So in 1927, it was incorporated and began operating out of one site on Franklin Street, and then other sites, and ultimately, not until the 60s did it consolidate where it is now, the main headquarters at Cold Spring and the Alameda in Northeast Baltimore.
There are a lot of people in the city of Baltimore who have a memory of learning how to swim.
Yes.
At the East Cold Spring Lane location. It was a public facility too?
Yes. Well, we're a nonprofit, so that makes us public, and the public can come use us. So many people that I talk to who know about, when I say I work at the League, they'll say, is that the League for the Handicapped, which was one of our names over the time it's changed. And he'll say, I think I learned to swim there. I say, I'm sure you did. And we still, on Saturday afternoons, do swim lessons there. We have a half Olympic size warm water swim pool. And mostly typically developing children learn to swim there. And we still do those lessons now.
And so, and tell me about some of the other programs.
The main thing that you would experience at the main facility at Cold Spring and the Alameda is, which we consider kind of the headquarters, is a medical day program. About 80 to 90 individuals from 21 to 100 years old come there and they get support. I often say that they are there not because of their medical condition, they're there for socialization. They would be okay at home, but they wouldn't be interacting with other people. other programs that go on there.
But before we leave it, though, what tend to be their medical conditions?
The people in medical day have perhaps feeding issue. They have a feeding tube in, or they can't feed themselves, so they need support. Toileting issues, brain injuries, cerebral palsy, spinal cord injuries. It's the whole gamut. From some of them have intellectual disabilities to other ones that are smarter than you or I, and they will let you know.
So I interrupted you. You're about to tell us about some of the other
some
programs.
Some of the other programs there. Well, at that facility, there's this wonderful gymnasium and pool. And in the gym, it's as nice as a YMCA. Actually, we partnered with the Y of Central Maryland to help us rebuild it so it has all the same kind of equipment that would be in a Y at 33rd Street, let's say. But much of it is accessible, so you can pull a button and move the seat out of the way so you can pull your wheelchair right up to it. What we're most proud of in that part of the program is we have individuals who can help people with disabilities learn how to use the different equipment or teach them swimming. So one program that the community can come and use and interact with people with disabilities. We have an after-school autism program that operates out of that building, and about 40 to 50 kids will be in there in the afternoons after school with a range. You know, they say if you've seen a child with autism, you've seen one child with autism. Everyone is a little bit different, and we have the whole gamut of kids who are on the spectrum who are coming there to get services.
And what kinds of things can you do with them?
Oh, they'll do lots of art activities. You should see some incredible artwork that they do. They'll go swimming. They'll work out in the gym. They'll have picnics out. We have beautiful grounds. If any listeners haven't been there, I'd love to give them a tour and show them. It's an amazing facility that was built. And in the early 2000s, just prior to my coming on board, about a $6 million renovation went into it. And so it's state-of-the-art, meets all the ADA requirements, which ironically it didn't initially because there wasn't an ADA when that was built.
There's also something called the Day Habilitation.
Yes, Day Habilitation Program is I consider it the first level of our vocational program, helping people work on job exploration, social skills. They may have some behavioral challenges that will prevent them from being successful in any kind of job. So they work on that and they go out into the community. They'll meet at the league and then load up on some vans and then go out and do different things.
And you said day habilitation is sort of the first step of workforce development.
Yes. Yeah, the first step. The ultimate step is we get individuals a paid job and they stay in that job. A lot of the workforce development activities that occur are not in the facility. They're out in the community, and they're out, you know, working at a movie theater or at a veterinarian's office or Home Depot or wherever they're actually getting a job.
That's David Greenberg, president and CEO of the League for People with Disabilities. Here on The Record on WIPR, I'm Sheila Cast. We're talking about how the League has evolved over its 9 decades. Camp Greentop is another program at the League. It's been in existence almost as long, 80 years.
80 years.
Right.
Yeah.
And it's not just a camp for kids.
Right. I don't know what year it switched from, and it probably like the League. It used to be the League for Crippled Children, then it became the League for Crippled Children and Adults. I often say because those children became adults and they still needed services. Camp Greentop, similar way. It was a camp for crippled children, and then it became a camp for crippled children and adults. We have some campers that have been going more than 50 summers in a row. Started there as a kid, and now they're well into their adulthood. Camp Greentop has a fascinating story. Started in 1937 as part of President Roosevelt's Works Project Administration. And so what did he do in this New Deal to get people back to work? He was paying generally men to work, and they built what became the National Park Service, the National Forest. So in Catoctin Mountains, right near Camp David, we have this site. It's actually not even the League site. It's owned by the National Park Service, and we every summer, except for during World War II, we have leased that space and operate a camp for about 65 campers and about 80 staff who operate there because of the needs.
the tell needs me, tell of me the, what goes
yeah,
on.
Yeah, yeah. So there'll be children's sessions and adult sessions. Interestingly, the children's sessions have changed over the years. Started out with polio, as we talked. Now, if you go up there, 70% of the children have autism diagnosis. It just shows you, you know, what's happening. And I think there was a lot of people with HIV in the 90s that would go to camp.
With all the other services, mm-hmm. why is a camping experience valuable yeah. for people with disabilities?
So I came through the healthcare ranks, and I thought, when I learned about the league, that it was part of healthcare. That this is, you know, you start out in, you know, shock trauma, and then maybe go to acute care, maybe go more to a rehabilitation or convalescent center, nursing home, and then you go to a place like the league. It is not like that at all. The diagnoses of what people have who come to the league, they will have that all their life. The league, what the league's good at is, since you have this disability, how can we help you enjoy life, help your family, give you recreation? But when you have a disability, you can't do the things that other people take for granted. As simple as stopping off on your way home to have a beer in a corner bar or go out to dinner somewhere. For you and I, it's easy. You hop in a car, plan to meet somebody there and go there. When you have a significant disability and you can't drive yourself and you're relying on public transportation and you need to make sure there's wheelchair access, it makes it a lot harder. There's a story that I've told before that actually our chief financial officer told me about. She asked this fairly impaired woman who's in our medical day program who goes to Camp Greentop every summer. I think she's about 84 years old now and has significant cerebral palsy. She's in a wheelchair that she can drive with like one finger because it's an electric chair. So, Miss Rose, what was your favorite part of camp this summer? And she goes to camp. That's the other amazing thing, that an 80-something-year-old person would be going to camp. What was your favorite part of camp? And she said, I got to go to IHOP with my friends. Now, I had tears in my eyes hearing that story because, I mean, you and I go to IHOP any day, but the fact that she got to go to IHOP and she got to be there with people that she sees every summer, that she doesn't see them all year long because it's too hard to go see these friends from other parts of Maryland mostly, that was what was most telling to her.
The program about aphasia.
Yes.
The inability to speak or understand speech because of brain damage. That's new, right? Relatively new.
Yes. In November of 14, we merged with Scale. Scale's relatively new. It started in 2008.
Scale stands for Snyder Center for Aphasia Life Enhancement.
Correct. And the league partnered with them in 2014. To kind of do the administrative piece of it because they just want to do the service. And it's essentially a day of programming for individuals who have difficulty speaking.
Boy, there's a lot going on.
A lot.
We need to take a quick break. David Greenberg, President and CEO of the League for People with Disabilities, is staying with us and we'll be joined by a League participant. I'm Sheila Cass. Quick break. Right back.
This is the On the Record podcast, a service of Your Public Radio, member-supported 88.1 WYPR. You can support this podcast and everything you hear from WYPR. Become a member. Come to WYPR.org and click the donate link.
Welcome back to On the Record. I'm Sheila Cast. We're talking about the League for People with Disabilities, which has been helping people with physical, cognitive, or neurological handicaps grow more independent for 90 years. Its president and CEO, David Greenberg, is here. And we're joined now by Paris Bennett, who's a League participant. He takes part in the Workforce Development Program and is a regular at a monthly social activity at the League. Welcome to the show, Paris.
Thank you. You too.
The social gathering I mentioned, it's called Club 1111. Paris, what is Club 1111?
it's a club, it's a disability club when people can come and have fun and dance and have a great time.
David, let me ask you, what happens at Club 1111? How did it start?
It started about coming up on 2 years ago, actually more than 2 years ago. And it started because I had a gentleman who was a fundraiser and thought it would be a great idea to have this monthly club and we'll get sponsors for it. And over time, we'll get about $10,000 worth of sponsors each month because I'm sure wheelchair companies and other health companies would want to advertise it at this club. And then we'll use it as a fundraiser, raise about $120,000 a year if you did it monthly. Turned out that, yeah, we didn't really get that much sponsor. We got some sponsorship, but not anywhere near that amount. But the individual started coming. And that's where I first met Paris, he shows up, and I hadn't met him. These are people that weren't coming to the league at all. They were going to other programs. And it just showed you this huge social need of people with disabilities to want to gather, to do something. And we do it on a Saturday night, the second Saturday every month. And I think that's a key piece of it, because what else are you going to do on Saturday night? Maybe roam around a mall, maybe a few people getting together, but not this exciting club. So every month, a lot of return guests, a lot of new people.
About how many people come?
500 to 700 people every month. Probably about 350 of them are individuals with disabilities, but their caregivers can come. There's no charge. We charge $10 to come to it, but no charge if you need supports. So some like Paris will come. He comes with his friends. He doesn't need supports. But other individuals who maybe, you know, their family member or caregiver would be with them.
Paris, how often do you go to Club 1111?
Every month.
Every month?
Yes.
And you started almost as soon as the club started, I gather.
Yes.
What do you like about it?
The dancing, the music. And also, like, I kind of got some cool stuff from there, like the shirts. And now they start selling the hats. And I like the hat. So I basically heard it from a friend and then told me, and I didn't know nothing about the Club 1111, so I got used to it. And I started coming more often because I started talking to people and they tell me like they like it, the dancing, and I basically like it because I basically have nothing else to do. I'm really bored on Saturday, and then that's how I got used to meeting Dave and the rest of the participants and stuff.
Have you met a lot of people there?
Yeah, tons. I met tons of people. I met some from the ARC. I met a few from Alliance. It's everywhere. It gives me a chance to socialize with people because I want to at least have fun. I mean, I'm working, but at least I want to have some fun, at least a little bit.
You need to have fun. We all need to have fun.
Yes.
How is it different from going to other clubs or other places you go?
Because I never experienced, like, clubs, like road dance clubs, because like some from like 5 to 2 o'clock in the morning, and like I can't stay up this late. But the reason I go to Club 1111 because I had a few people I actually knew from the league. That's why I chose it. Then I started getting used to it. My mom took me, and then I thought like this is a blast. I know that I've read a history about the club. They had special like specific events. Like 80s day, and I seen like, well, I see tons of pictures and people having a blast, and I thought like, yeah, I'm gonna be part of this too.
I wish people could see how big the smile is on your face when you talk about it. This is On the Record on WIPR. I'm Sheila Cass speaking with David Greenberg, CEO and president of the League for People with Disabilities, and Paris Bennett, who is 22. And takes part in some of the league's programs, like its monthly nightclub, Club 1111, and workforce development. Paris, what do you do in the job training program?
I go to a few volunteering sites.
Volunteering sites, uh-huh. Mm-hmm.
Like Broad Mead Nursing Home, the library. I do benches on Wednesday.
Okay, let me stop you and ask, when you say you do benches, what does that mean?
It's just like, I clean the benches,
uh-huh.
I sand them, and then we paint them to make them look nice.
Uh-huh. So I interrupted you. You were telling me some of the places you go during the week.
The nursing center, I helped the elderly out at Reed Menus, and I do activities with them. And Tuesday I do job search, read books, and sometimes get on the computer.
This is at the library?
Yes, at the library, yes.
Uh-huh. David, how does what Paris is describing mm-hmm. fit into workforce development?
Paris is doing career exploration. So he's learning about, so when he goes to Broadmead and helps the elderly there, there's a variety of jobs that people at Broadmead have. And so he's seeing what those are. In the meanwhile, he's volunteering his time to help individuals. I think you said you read menus, right?
Yes.
So somebody has a visual impairment due to their age or cornea problem or whatever, Paris will do that. That helps him learn responsibility. He mentioned about benches. We partnered with a place called TKF Foundation that has these reflecting parks and benches throughout Baltimore City and help restore them. He's not doing that to learn to be a wood craftsman, but it's just learning responsibility that you need to be a certain place at a certain time, do a task, and finish that task, and have supplies and all that. So he's exploring different things.
Paris, what are your job goals?
I'm trying, want to be more independent. My job goals, I want to do full-time work, and so I want to learn how to help people and, you know, see what I can do, in the nearest future, that I see myself doing full-time work because I'm used to doing something longer than the stuff I'm doing now. So, the jobs I chose, I chose PetSmart because we, go out in the community and do, look up for jobs that are hiring, and I found, at least three I was interested in. PetSmart, People's Pictures to do photography work, and Pet Boys to become a mechanic. Mm-hmm. So I chose three specific jobs that will fit my needs in order to get a paying job.
And do you feel you're making progress toward any of those?
Yeah. I mean, I think there was one thing I was interested in. One is PetSmart because I think I was interested in doing stock work because it's the easiest. It's a slow pace. I talked to one of the employers there. It's during the day, and they're on their feet all day. I'm used to something like that because, some of the jobs are okay. I like volunteering, and I think that, I just want to make a good impression so I can, learn how to speak to an interviewer or be prepared for a job or learning my job and see what I can do.
What else do you participate in at the league?
I do participate events with the Dayhab. They would sell events like cookouts and holiday. I did participate in a few Halloween one, Christmas, and sometimes Thanksgiving. Because I know that Dayhab, they shared half of their stuff with us, and I thank them for that. And I give a big shout out to the people that gave me a chance to have a good time with the artists and so I can have fun and talk and enjoy myself.
And you work out at the league too, right?
Yeah, I like it. Everything. I get in treadmill for at least 15 minutes and it gets me doing something during the day. I like the gym a whole lot.
David, what's coming up at the league?
Our 80th anniversary of Camp Greentop up at Camp Greentop is on July 15th. And then on July 29th is a Catoctin Challenge bike ride to raise money for people, for kids who go to Camp Greentop and adults. Also on July 29th is an open house at Camp Greentop. If anybody would like to go up and see Camp Greentop in action, there'll be adults and children there. So bring your families. And our big event for celebrating 90 years is going to be on October 19th. At La Cuchara restaurant, and all the money raised there goes to programs at the league.
We're going to link at the on the record page at WIPR. We will link to your website where people
Wonderful.
Can get all this information about activities and also about volunteer opportunities.
Yes.
Really enjoyed this conversation. Thank you.
Thank you.
Thank you for having us.
Paris Bennett is a participant in several activities of the League for People with Disabilities, including its workforce development program. David Greenberg is the League's president and CEO. At the On the Record page at WIPR.org, we've got a link to the League's website. I'm Sheila Cast. Thanks for being with us on the record. Join us again tomorrow.
Thanks for listening to this segment of On the Record with Sheila Cast. You can catch the show on the radio Monday through Friday, 9:30 to 10 a.m. on 88.1 WYPR, your NPR news station. And you can support On the Record and all the other public radio programs that WYPR brings to you. Just click the donate link at the top of WYPR.org. And thanks.